Father, I thank you because our supplications, our petitions before your throne have been answered and your spirit has been poured forth into this place and your people will be mightily blessed today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because it's your words that I will speak, not my own wisdom, not my understanding, and only things that I've necessarily planned to say, but that word that people need for this season, which is going to bless and transform their lives in Jesus' name. All right, the Lord is good. Can we start again by opening our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 2? Where we have been reading for a while, talking about walking in divine authority. He said, "Now it shall come to pass," I'm reading from verse 2, "in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains." He said, "and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the house, to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And now he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.'" He said, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Please, verse 5, he said, "O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. The reason is that they are filled with eastern ways or influences from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Say their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures." Now, if you read from verse 10, it says that, "Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty." The reason is because the day is coming. If you read verse 12, it said, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, things that people have exalted, that's given them all the results that was described in verse 7. It said, "All those things God will bring to judgment on a particular day. Therefore," he said, "this is what will be deliverance for all the people. This is what will be real deliverance." Verse 5, "O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Do you understand that point? Now that's what we have been describing, and we're going to continue talking about that. Now, please, let's read Jeremiah chapter 1 again. This is the foundation for everything we have been saying. Then I want us to read that Jeremiah chapter 1. I ended last time with that. If you remember, we read from Luke chapter 10 also, in which we found out that the people, Jesus said in verse 19, "Behold, I give you power or authority over all the works of the devil." He said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." But we examine that in context, and we realize that what he was saying is that, "I have sent you somewhere." If you read at the beginning of that Luke chapter 10, he described the fact that he was going to go somewhere, and he took 70 people, two by two, he divided them, and then sent them into the cities that he himself was going to come into. And their authority was because he had sent them somewhere. So he gave them authority, meaning that if they had left the place that he sent them, serpents would have beaten them and demons would not have been excited, all right, that they came. And you follow what I mean? That is, the authority was found in the center of divine assignment. The authority was found in the center of the will of God for their lives. I hope you got that point. Okay, now, we'll start developing that. I want to continue from there. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1 was where we also read, and that's where we'll continue also again from today. Isaiah chapter 2 being our foundation for everything. Don't forget what we have said. In Isaiah chapter 2, God has a plan, and anytime God has a plan, the first thing he does, having recorded his plan, when he planned it, he allows people glimpses into it. The prophets prophesy concerning the plan of God. And I said something before about two kinds of faith. Faith has two different levels. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I said that word hope means that we have an expectation, and that if your faith does not have an expectation, it is not really a true faith, it's not really a living faith. But what I want to divide again is the fact that faith has an expectation, but there's a kind of faith that doesn't really have an expectation, but it only records or accepts things that happened before. So that faith does not affect the occurrence of that thing. For example, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, we know. We know he was born of a virgin. We know that he rose up on the third day. You will understand all of that stories. Now, your lack of faith won't change that point. You follow what I mean? But then there is faith as a substance of things hoped for and expectation. Now, this faith is needed for that expectation to come. He said the word preached did not profit them in that it was not mixed with faith in the hearts of them that had it. That is, if you heard the word and the faith is not in your heart to receive that word, then it most certainly will not come to pass and it will appear as if God lied. Are you getting my point? That's why I've said it again and again. Be careful when you are using results to judge the things of Christianity, because there are many things that stand between the release of the word and the manifestation of that same word. There are many things. Many things stand between the release of the word and the manifestation of that word. Therefore, we don't judge Christianity by results. Why do we judge it? By information, by doctrine, by the things that the apostles told us, the people that Jesus talked to directly, and by the things that the prophets recorded concerning those things that they saw in the heavens. Now, that's how we judge Christianity. Now, I'm emphasizing again that our faith, therefore, is needed to make the word of God real in our lives. And that's why you waste, pardon me to use the word, right? You waste your Saturday evening to come and sit down. You know, you understand why I'm using the word waste now? That is, you spend the time to come and sit down because you understand that that is what is needed, all right, to bring the things that God recorded in the heavens to pass in reality. So faith as the substance of things hoped for. Without it, that hope does not come to be. Without it, that expectation is never confirmed. And that's one thing we must get clear. So we read from Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah said, God has a plan, and therefore, because we have discovered that he has his plan, and what is his plan? That the house of Jacob, that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted above every other mountain, and all the nations will flow to it. I explained that that means that we must prepare for it. Now, the Bible says, what ears have not heard, and eyes have not seen. And therefore, because the heart of man cannot imagine something that it has not heard or it hasn't seen. He said, what has not yet entered into the heart of man, those are the things that God prepared for those who love him. Meaning, therefore, the people really, all right, you can't judge whether we have gotten results or not according to what we are doing beforehand. Because the things that's going to happen, we have never seen it. Do you follow what I mean? But we just walk according to instruction. We walk according to the teaching of the word of God. That's why we are gathered. So Isaiah said, come house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And that's what I'm explaining. Now our faith, therefore, because we have an expectation, we prepare for that which God has recorded that he's going to do. Please, I'm just reviewing the things we have said before, because we must say them so many times so that the hearts of people will be established in it. God has a plan. He said he's going to do some things. And before he can do it, you must be prepared for it. Because he said, a day will come in which he will judge everything that people have used to get results. Now, let me explain something. There's what the Bible calls the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, you notice something. For every generation, before the kingdom of God manifests. Now, let me use this expression to explain what the kingdom of God means. It just means the manifestation of all those things that God has promised. Now, when you say God has promised, what are you saying? Let me tell you the way God promises things. In simple terms, you've heard preaching. You've heard the word of God being taught. And you've heard things being said. You know, I said something last time. That God set up Thomas as an example for us. That Thomas said, I didn't see, therefore I will not believe. I said, but all the other people saw before they believed. All right? So, why did God set Thomas up? So that we will learn to hear reports from the mouth of credible people, anointed people who said they saw. Do you follow what I mean? He said, blessed is the man who will hear those things and believe it. And when Jesus said blessed, it doesn't mean that, oh, nice fellow. You know what I mean by nice fellow? So we say he's an okay man. No. It means that there is a blessing released into his life because he believed the thing he did not see. So when we're saying that God is promising, you have heard teaching. In fact, let me give it to you, and I have no apologies. You've heard me preach. That's Ibanki, all right? Everything I have told you that will happen is a promise of God, is a plan of God for your life. Now, let me get what I'm going to say. Let me get into something. Now, when we talk about the coming of the kingdom of God, therefore, is a manifestation of those things that your heart has believed because you heard the teaching of God's word. You follow what I mean? That is the manifestation of those things that your heart believed because you heard the teaching, the instruction, the prophesying of the word of God. Now, before that thing happens, every generation has its own opportunity.
You know, God has divided this world into generations. You see, be very careful how you waste time and how you make wrong decisions, thinking you always have time to repair them in case they go wrong. It doesn't always work. Every generation has his opportunity. Now, this is quite a scary thing. Before God pours his blessing or his kingdom, now I'm talking to the people of God, the church of God now, those who have believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Before God pours his kingdom upon them, you know the first thing he does? He sends the word out that repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There is a manner in which you were getting results before. Repent from that manner, because the real kingdom is about to come. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me, now, something just came to my mind to use as an illustration. It's because if you're a preacher and you are hearing this, you have to run a ministry. We're going to have a meeting. That's Lokaf. That's the first day of Lokaf's ministers' meeting. And one of the things we are discussing is financing your ministry. See, I hope I don't sound like Mr. Know-All or Wiser Than Thou. You know, there's Holier Than Thou and there's Wiser Than Thou. I sit down sometimes and I watch TV. Let me not mention names. That is the TV network. And then I said, this thing I'm seeing is not right. That is methods by which people raise money for ministry. Now, I've said something before. Be careful that you don't judge the fact that he has gotten results. I think that is established in our hearts. Because we saw that when he told them to repent, they were getting results. Their land was filled of what? Treasures, silver and gold. Yet he said it's because of influences, corrupt influences from the east. That's what he said. People outside the covenant of God, they have taught the church how to do things and they get the results quickly. And this is interesting part. They will continue to get the result until the day of the judgment of God, until the day of the coming of the kingdom of God, when God will now judge all the things that are wrong. Now, before that day comes, this is what the Lord does. He sends instructions out telling people that this is not right. Do you follow what I mean? Now, he will not demonstrate it to you more than the fact that you will read the scriptures and there will be a demonstration in letter, all right, which the Spirit of God in you will agree with. That is, the Spirit of God will open it to you. I was meditating today. Something led to it. I can't remember exactly what now. And I realized that as a matter of fact, God gives everybody the opportunity to change his mind and begin to do that which is right. And this is what the devil does. He tempts people. He said, why shouldn't you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, can't you see it will make you wise and you will become like God? Satan always portray, all right, blessing. Or let me say, which word do I use now instead of blessing? Reward, yes, profit. For you using that method that is not on God's side. That's what he will tell you. Now, I'm going to bring out something. So when you hear that this is not right, the thing that comes to your mind instantly is what you stand to lose as soon as you start doing that which is right. That's how human beings are tested. You know, I've been referring to that book again and again. Great faith can be yours. Some things I said in there. That when we talk about great faith, you cannot exercise yourself onto great faith. You can't. Great faith is released into you when you do what is right at the time that God gave you the opportunity to do it. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, it's in those little times. Now, before God comes judging, he allows, now this is the point I'm trying to make, he allows the Spirit of God inside a believer to ignite truth in him. And truth will stand with the evidence of the written word of God on one side, and then Satan will come with the profits to gain by following what is normal, what is common, on the other hand. And then you now balance the two. Now, that is the point in which God leaves you alone. I know what I'm saying. That one, the only help he gives you is information. That is when he decides really the kind of person that you are. The information is clear. Do you understand my point? He makes it very clear to you. Now, I told you, the way God deals with unbelievers is very different from the way he deals with believers. We take Israel as a nation. Preaching to Israel, Jesus did not start with miracles. He ended with miracles. Let me explain it. When it came to the ministry to Israel, God did not start with miracles. You know what he ended with? Miracles. Let me explain what I mean. Now, since that each generation has its own opportunity, listen to this. John the Baptist came preaching a gospel of what? Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All right, he was preaching the baptism of repentance, yes, for the forgiveness of sins. And the testimony is that John the Baptist did no mighty work. Why? Because he was preaching to covenant people. He was preaching to people who have circumcised their children. He was preaching to people who have observed the feasts of Israel. People who had the testimony that Abraham is our father, Isaac is our father, Jacob is our father. And we know all the sons of Jacob, and we are descendants. Each one could trace where he came from. There was no Israel man who couldn't tell you, you know, they would draw his, this was my father, till he gets down to Jacob. They could do that. So for them to walk in iniquity was simply a matter of breaking the covenant. God didn't need to do them any miracle for them to repent. It's an agreement we made from the beginning. You've circumcised your son, yes, you are in it. You've lived here. These are the laws you quote. You bear the names. You've carried it around. No, I won't do any miracle for you to repent. They said, what sign do you want to show? Jesus said, why should I show you any sign? I'm not showing you anything. You know why? You don't need a sign. You are not the type that qualify for a sign. John the Baptist will preach and preach, and the testimony is that the man did no mighty work. He preached for years before Jesus Christ came on the scene. Jesus Christ took off from where he ended. Do you get my point? What was John the Baptist doing? He was preaching repentance. Repentance. Because he said the kingdom of God is at hand. Then when the kingdom of God came, this is the interesting part, the door closed for that generation. Anyone who was not baptized by John, all right, or at least in his heart, agreed with the baptism of John, could not receive a miracle from the hand of Jesus Christ. He could not. Now, get what I'm trying to say. But when Philip went elsewhere, outside Israel, people were listening to him. When they saw the signs that he was doing, because they were outside the covenant, God needed to persuade those people first. Do you get my point? Listen, how God deals with believers and unbelievers is not the same thing. Once you have believed, your life is different too. An unbeliever says, God help me now. If you are really God, if you put if and it gets results, you put if, you are dead. Yes, the unbeliever says, if you are really God, and that's it, God appears. But you say, if you are really God, you say, you are very stupid. What did you think I was before? You can't use if with him. You are a child of covenant. Now, I'm bringing out something. So to those children of covenant, God keeps bringing forth the word. This is right. This is wrong. This, the way we've been doing it is wrong. You know, I was saying something. That I watch TV sometimes, and I see the way people say, this is how we finance ministry. Listen, God says, before, now I understand how people finance ministry. You've heard me teach it before, haven't you? Yes, that was real revelation. Listen, I'm not even smelling one-tenth. What is one-tenth? 1% of what I believe. I think less than 1 per 1,000 is what I have seen. But I knew it before anybody, apart from my wife and I, gave 1 naira to Kingdom Word Ministries. A friend of mine was around the other day. You know the question he asked me? How's ministry finances going? Are you still financing it from your pocket? I said, no, those times have changed. He remembered that when we printed tracts, I dipped my hand into my pocket. When we paid for this place for the first time, it was my car that I sold. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, so I, despite the fact that it was a burden on me as a person, I still wouldn't change the doctrine. I said, the same way I preach, there are people who are commanded to bring money and finance the work. Listen, you don't beg me to preach. I will never have to beg them to finance the work of the ministry. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? The same way I will sit at home and say, God, your people are going to gather tonight. What do I preach to them? And understanding will come into my heart. All right, and I will put 2 or 3 scriptures together, and I will bless people, and people will leave the place shaking their heads. Say, Pastor, you just answered my questions. You just met my needs. Those words were for me. So the same manner, somebody will sit at home and say, God, what more do we have to do to move this gospel that this guy is preaching forward? And God will say, listen, there's a business coming to you next week. You are going to make 600 million naira from it. Not 1 naira is to be eaten by you. And he'll say, yes, sir. At the end of the week, he signs the check, Pastor, this is 100 million naira. I think we should conquer this part of Africa. And that is it. I will not. If I remember to tell him thank you out of court, do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, I'm doing my work, he's doing his work. Now, I believe that long ago. When that will be released in its fullness, is what the Bible calls the coming of the kingdom of God. By the time that is happening, judgment will have come upon all kinds of gimmicks that men were using. Listen, if you're a preacher and you're a gimmick man, you're about to go broke. You hear what I said? If you're a preacher and you're a gimmick man, you're about to go broke. Because that's how it happens. The old order passes away. The Bible says he takes away the first that he might establish the second. They don't run side by side. You follow what I mean? This is the frightening part. By the time the release of that second order comes, the door is closed. People that were preached to under the first order to repent for the coming of the second order, they have no more chance for repentance. I know what I'm saying. It's scary, but it's a matter of fact. That is why you have to make up your mind while things are still rough. You have to make up your mind when there is yet no manifestation. Because John the Baptist does not do any mighty work. It's his habit. He will baptize you, a sick man. He will soak you completely in sickness. Bring you out in sickness and say your sins are forgiven. Bye-bye. You came there sick. You left sick. You came to John the Baptist broke. You left broke. No miracles. But this is the interesting part. The moment Jesus Christ comes on the scene, all the people that were thus baptized by Jesus, they are the type that Jesus will do his hand like this. And from 100 meters, they are healed. This is my persuasion. They are the type that Jesus walk up by the side and said, do you want to be made whole? He said, sir, I have no man. He said, you don't get the point. I said, do you want to be made whole? You sow the seed for healing under John the Baptist. While the man is arguing, he said, listen, my friend, did you not crawl from this your sixth day to go and be baptized by John? Come on, take up your pallet and walk. That is why you hear, well, like what the Bishop Oyedepo said once. He said, one day the Spirit of God spoke to him. He said, my son, even though you want to be rich and poor, it is too late. That is, even though you don't want to be rich, he said, it is too late. Because there was a time of the baptism of John. You crawled to the baptism of John. Now the day of the manifestation of God has come. I have to pour it upon you, my friend. Do you follow my point? But what am I emphasizing? That John the Baptist does no mighty work. One. Number two, every generation has its own season, has its own time in which all they do is go to the baptism of John. Do you follow my point? You know what John the Baptist represents? The man is in the wilderness. He's not living in prosperity. You follow what I mean? The guy was eating locusts and wild honey. I have a persuasion. It was not out of faith, but out of nothing else to eat. When you're hungry, the Bible says to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You get what I'm saying? But when Jesus Christ came, he will sit down. And to perfume him, they will pour a jar of perfume. Normally, people will take a drop and put it here, and rub it on their hands and walk out. They will break it and pour it upon him at a time. What's an average worker needed to work for 1 year to buy that bottle? That's not John the Baptist season. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? They wanted to arrest John the Baptist. They got him. To arrest Jesus Christ, he had to consciously lay down his life. Now, it was a different thing. But John the Baptist represented the time in which Isaiah was preaching. He said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord, even though we don't see any result. That is the season in which Moses walks out of the palace of Pharaoh, walks in amongst the slaves, and gets nothing. But the Bible says something clearly. If you go and read Hebrews chapter 11, it says Moses knew there would be a reward. But did the reward come quickly? No. Interesting part again is that he gave up on the reward before the reward came. Yes, he hung with slaves. He fought for slaves. Finally, when they were driving him out, the slaves did not rise up. I remember some people planned coup in Nigeria many years ago. I was in university then, I think around 1989 or so. You know what I'm talking about. And I remember hearing their broadcast on radio. When Abacha was leading the people that were breaking the coup, everybody take to the streets. You know, he was trying to, you know, stir up a revolution. All of us stayed in our homes. We didn't come out. They went, arrested all the coup plotters and shot all of them. The people they claimed they were fighting for just stayed at home and said, oh God, that was a bad one. And they continued business as usual. That's what happened to Moses. 40 years, the man was hanging around in the wilderness, but the day of the reward came. The day came. The thing he fought for finally was manifested. The thing he lost his throne for finally was manifested. By the time they were telling him to go back and go and take the reward for the labor, do you get me? He said, I am not able. By the time they told him, go back and go and deliver the people you wanted to deliver 40 years ago, he said, I've started stammering. You know, those times I used to speak very well. Since then, I have begun to stammer. Do you follow the point? What have I explained? that the season in which people get converted from the old ways to the new ways is the season in which is the season of John the Baptist. There's nothing. Nothing to show for it. But this is my emphasis. Listen, no, child of God. That day will definitely come. Again, the scary part is that when it comes, it is manifested upon those who took part in the baptism of John. And then, listen, it is too late for those who want to now get baptized. By the time Jesus started working miracles, John Baptist was dead. Even Jesus has stopped baptizing. Am I lying? No, you know when he started, he was baptizing. His disciples were baptizing, actually, not him. He will sit down. The disciples that left John came to Jesus. They continued baptizing, giving people the last chance. You know, this promo has been extended for one more week. The share offer has been extended for one more week. So they continued. But when Jesus began to preach and he began to heal, there was no more baptism. What were they doing? They were now fencing people off. Excuse me. No, the master is resting. He said, but these are just children. He said, the master is resting. Jesus now overheard. He said, no, let the little ones come to me. You know, if you read in between the lines, to see Jesus was not exactly very easy. It wasn't. You know how influential Zacchaeus was? He was a tax collector. He was a powerful man in the community. He had to go and climb a tree to see where he would pass. He had to go and climb a tree. That this is where he's coming. So he ran ahead, climbed the tree. That this one, I will be able to see him face to face. But God seeing his heart, Jesus just got there and said, oh boy, calm down. I want to eat in your house. My God, sir, my house. Yeah. It wasn't so easy. The Roman centurion had to beg people to go ahead. Men that knew how to get him. So some women came with their children. Peter and uncle just look and say, you are looking for what? You want to see pastor? He's sleeping. He said, it's not us, it's just these children. We heard he loves children. He said, I said he's sleeping. Everybody, go back. Then Jesus now heard from upstairs. He said, hey, Peter, wait. Don't let your mothers come, just the children. Because when the mothers get there, I'm adding my own pepper and salt to the thing now. Is that any story? Ah, thank you, sir. We've been trying to see you since. See this your Peter. He's a very wicked man. But this point I'm making, there was a time they were shouting, repent, begging people to come for baptism. But the time the manifestation began, I said, no, please, it's enough. We are baptizing enough people. We are not baptizing again. You are getting what I'm saying. That is, God closes a door. You will notice the parables of Jesus Christ. There's something he used to say. That before they start, they invite everybody for a feast. Fill the seats. People won't come. I just bought a land. The agent said, it's only today he has time to go and show me the land. So I've gone. He said, my car just finally arrived. You know, the Tokumbo I imported from America, it just came today. And I'm supposed to pay the man. If I don't test it now, he may have bought me a bad car. You follow? So I have to go and test my car. The master will come and say, where is everybody? Say, okay, go, just park anybody who will agree to come. Those ones came, and then they closed the door before the feast commenced. Now, notice that the door always closed. The door always closes. Please be afraid. You know, children of God, children, we have to be very careful. You've heard before, people say that all these churches these days, it's young people that are going there. I say it's a spiritual sign. It's a spiritual sign. No, any young man going there should go and hear the truth that's being preached. Because God is selecting their generation and trying to select those he will use in the next season. Once that generation passes and moves on, in the old God, he said, at that time, you can't change your mind again. You won't know, this is of course, nobody will know. Life just keeps carrying the person. And you follow what I mean? The baptism is ended, they step into their own feast. Anybody who didn't enter on time, they close the door against him. He keeps struggling. I don't know why this is not working. Things don't work when they're out of season. No. When they're out of season, it's tight. There is a season of repentance that comes first. Please don't forget what I said. It doesn't come with plenty results. The only thing it comes with, that's why, look, let me tell you the truth. Serious Christians, you won't get any overnight breakthrough. You know it doesn't help. Let nobody deceive you. You get what I said? Then forget it. Nobody should deceive you. After today, tomorrow your troubles are over. Oh boy. As a young believer, it's a lie. So Pastor Banky, yes, I know what I'm saying. Joseph, our Bible example. There's nothing you could do to hasten that day. The day is tied to the dreaming of Pharaoh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Pray for Joseph all you want. The prayer you should pray for him is that may you not die before the day. And the guy will say, amen. As for making the day come a day earlier, really there's nothing you can do about it. What I'm trying to explain. You see, as a young believer, you go to church. You hear the word of God. It doesn't really promise you urgent results. You know, when I teach on radio, I say it with pride. I say people learn righteousness for the sake of righteousness. Learn holiness for the sake of holiness. Are you getting my point? Don't say I have discovered that crime does not pay because I tried and I didn't get money. That is not what we mean by crime doesn't pay. You know, Chike was saying something the other day about one young man who came to see him or call him. That how can he really make money in life because he has tried for one and it didn't work. I said, that one has not repented yet. That's not what we mean by crime doesn't pay. No. When we say crime doesn't pay, we mean that you will get temporary results. When your mates are repenting, do you get my point? And learning righteousness, you are getting results. Then finally, when God is about to bless them, first thing, he removes all your blessings. Then you turn around and you say, crime does not pay. It's not the beginning that crime doesn't pay. No. What does a young man get? What does a young woman get? Talk. Plenty of talk. John the Baptist will just be talking and shouting, but promising that the day is coming. You get what I mean? He's shouting and teaching, giving you the instruction in righteousness. Tax collector will say, what must I do? He say, oh boy, stop charging people more than you should charge them. You know, my wife does business. I mean, a lot of you know. And I have blessed her with blessings. Plenty of it. One of the ones I had most recently. One day I just looked at her. I said, I remember Cecilia Ibru. There's a reason. And I said, you'll be more honored than Cecilia Ibru in this country. There was a reason why I chose Cecilia Ibru. All right? Now, let's not discuss that one. All right? Now, all the things she's doing now, is he going to get her an oceanic bank? Not necessarily. But this is the point. The other day, I commended something about the business she was doing. She said, thank you very much. I said, all thanks to you. Because, you see, I have anointing. Amen? Yeah. Now, not just to teach, but to be a husband and a leader at home. There are times my wife wants to sell something. And I will say, I think that price is too high. She brings it. I said, no, but I said, listen, I'll give her my explanation. She may not totally agree, but she will go from what I say. But let me give you something one that happened some time ago. Somebody, my wife has a gift. She does. This is not a joke. She can sell anything to anybody. That is discipline, not to sell what is bad. I don't know what I can say. Remember, we sweet mouth you into talking, you know. Somebody was talking about the other day. The man, you know, he didn't know that everybody knows the same line he uses. Let me explain what I mean. If he wants to sell you, let's say, a car, so that you won't guess what I'm talking about. You know what he'll do? This car is just, it just fits you perfectly. Let us assume the car is too big for you. Say, no, this is the perfect size for you. Then he'll forget that he sold you that one yesterday. 2 years later, he'll come back. Get you one that's very small. Say, no, this car is your perfect size. It is an evil thing. Don't ever do it. Don't say it's because of sale. Don't ever do it. All right? It is wrong. It is bad. It is evil. One day, my wife wanted to sell a suit to somebody, and the person tried it, and it looked good, all right? She just looked and said, no, this is not your size. Let me have it. I will try and get you one that's your size. The idea is that it's not just sell. It is bless. It's not just sell. It is what? Bless. One of those days, so I thought that she has a gift for selling things. It's a gift. You know, she can sell money till night. So her friends know it. And she has friends that maybe somebody will import things and they bring this for sale. You know what they'll do? They just drive down to my house. Madam, come and look. This is for sale. Please, we can't sell it. We know you can sell it. No, that happens all the time. I'm serious. So one of those days, this woman imported toys, children's computers, stuff like that. And it's been in her house for weeks and months. She hadn't sold one. Then one day, in the course of business, somebody introduced her to my wife. And she said, cut a long story short, in the next 3 weeks, everything was sold up. One of the things she sold was that they were used toys. Very nice, you know, American-grade toys, you know, stuff. One of the people that she sold to complained that the thing was faulty. So she now told the person who owned the toys that, listen, I got this complaint from this person about this thing. So now the person paid, it's not a cheap thing, that was 25,000 naira for that stuff. 25,000, it wasn't like a cheap toy, you know. You know, that was a children's computer. You know, you see, like a desktop just that is made for kids. That is, this person is not working. And the person was trying to grumble, like, no, after all, they tested it. It was working. So I told my wife something, and she agreed with it. Initially, she asked, and I explained why. I said, number one, the person you sold to does not know the person who imported them, does she? She said, no. You are the one they know. I said, that is number one. Let's get that one clear. I said, number two, you made a bit of money as a middleman. Correct. I said, you don't make money for nothing. You make money for bearing risk. You make money for waste. No, you see, there's a reason why you put a profit on your things. One of them is you bear risk. Are you getting me? And then, the next thing, we'll discuss some of these things in our spiritual, in our seeds program. Remember our seeds program? You will discuss some of them. I said, so listen to this. My principle always is, put it inside you first. If you were the one that paid 25,000 naira for a toy, would you like it to work for 24 hours and they start telling you one long story? She said, no. I said, this is what we are going to do. Get it from the woman. I'll see whether, because she told the woman that, let me show it to my husband. He may be able to fix it. I said, I'll see whether I can fix it. It doesn't matter whether we fix it or not. That woman either gets another toy or she gets her 25,000 naira back. I said, what about the other woman? She may not agree. That's the other person who imported. I said, sorry. That is the problem of being a middleman. Then you bear the loss. My wife looked at me. I said, yes, you will bear the loss. Argue with the other person, though. Say, look, madam, this is not right. I said, but you don't have to say, I got it from here. It's not your business. You sit down, talk with your client, and say, I will see whether I can fix it. If I can't, I'll get you another one. If I can't get you another one, I'll give you your money back. But she brought it to me, you know. One of the worst things you can do to an electronic gadget is give it to a woman. I'm very sorry. Jikamele, give it to a woman. Ah, God. I'm serious. A woman just don't, once the thing just didn't answer properly, they move back. If it's makeup, they can make it up several times, clean it, redo it. But once they press this button and Jike says it will say A, the button says B. Ah, Jike, come and see. It's not working. So when the gentleman came back to me, I looked at it, I said, an electronic gadget. First thing I checked, is the power broken? No, the power is still intact. I said, it's a small thing. I started searching for a reset button. I said, it must have a reset button. There's no electronic gadget that is made without somewhere to reset it to zero. So first, I pulled out the batteries. The thing was still faulty. I found some hidden batteries. You know, those lithium-ion batteries that can stay for years. I pulled those ones out and put them back in. Last of all, I discovered the reset. I took a pin, stuck into the reset, removed it, put the thing back on, started working finally. Now, there's a test in everything. Before that thing started working, my wife first learned the lesson. God allowed us to discuss. Now, you follow my point. And she agreed that this is a loss. If this woman doesn't agree to take charge of this thing, and the other and we can't fix it, then I have to bear the loss. Now, why did I tell the story? Remember I said I prophesied that you'll be more honored than Cecilia Ibu. So all this one of selling toy today, sell clothes tomorrow, cosmetics today, I said, listen, every day you are learning how you will walk when you enter the promised land. Do you get my point? That's what we are doing. Each day you are learning how you will walk when you get to the promised land. Today is 25,000 naira. A day is going to come, it will be 1 billion naira. If you couldn't take the loss on 25,000, you won't be ready to stomach 1 billion naira. And if God realized you will not stomach 1 billion naira, I said, then I will not make you one that will do business in hundreds of billions. You are going to embarrass me one day. Now, are you getting what I mean? the season of John the Baptist. We are learning repentance. You know, I said something last week that God has thoughts about everything. God has ideas. What you actually do, all right, in life that brings you to the position of breakthrough, what God gives you as an advantage as a child of God is wisdom. He said, he was talking to Timothy, he said, from your childhood, from your youth, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, or which is able to give you the wisdom that begets salvation. I said, salvation is not, I have given my life to Christ. That is called reconciliation. When you go up and say, I repent of my sins, forgive me, what has happened is that you have been reconciled. He said, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got. Peace, not salvation. What is salvation? All the things that sin injected into your life, into the world, as they are being removed from you, that's what we call salvation. That's why he spoke to Timothy, that the scripture is able to make you wise. And that results in what? Salvation. So you know what God gives to the people? The wisdom for salvation. You know, when the children of Israel were entering into the promised land, he told them simply, I am taking you in, not because of your righteousness, but because I'm taking them out because of their own wickedness. Therefore, he warned them, if you do what they did, you will experience what they experienced. Let me say something to you. God can cross a land. I've said it before. Noah looked at his son, Ham, and cursed him. Moses recorded, cursed be Canaan. I said before, it was because the issue, if you read the account of Genesis, Moses was recording it from the creation down to Abraham. You follow what I mean? So that was the issue. He was recording why they had to go and take the land of Canaan. But in reality, the curse of Noah was upon all the descendants of Ham, including the black man. Descendants of Cush, that's what they are. I'm bringing out something. There's a curse upon them. It's causing them problems. It's causing calamity. But it doesn't just rain from heaven. That's what I want to say. They first do things that bring it to them. Do you understand my point? It doesn't just rain from heaven. They first do things that bring it to them. I've forgotten one particular man now. One of the priests of David. He served David faithfully for many years. But he was a descendant of Eli. Do you understand my point? Then one day, he betrayed David. And that was his judgment. That it might be fulfilled, the word of the Lord to Eli. Until he betrayed David, the judgment of Eli couldn't come upon him. I'm bringing out something. That though there was a curse upon Ham and all his descendants, each person does something to bring the curse down. You take a nation like Africa, take Nigeria. Why is this not working? Things are not working. Yes, I'm telling you the foundation, all right, is a curse that's upon all of them. That is the nation, okay? But the pillars of destruction, like you have pillars of success, the pillars of failure are those things that people do. So, for example, what does God do when he wants to punish people? They will vote, and there will be three leaders, potential presidents. One of them will be as good as Abraham Lincoln. Do you know what I mean? Winston Churchill, and any great man you can think of put together. But God said, that one is a good man, but they are wicked people. They won't vote for him. Then the spirit will go into the air. Say, don't mind him. Don't vote for him. He's not from your area. You follow what I mean? No, listen. One day I was in school. This really happened. One of my neighbors, when I was on campus, a law student, Polo. Polo came around. They had this law students association. And he raked and raked and raked on how useless that guy is. How useless this guy is. How useless the fellow is. What is his problem? He thinks he can do this. After abusing the guy thoroughly, he made a statement. It was an election day. He said, anyway, I voted for him because he's from my place. I couldn't believe my ears. He said, anyway, I voted for him. He's my brother. That's what kills Africa. Have you ever heard an American say, I voted for him because he's my brother? He said his health care plan is useless. So I voted against him. Americans, a father will vote against his son. See, that boy is very stupid. He's a very stupid boy. And he will let everybody know. Don't mind him. It's my son. But I think he's a nonsense boy. Say, why do you call him nonsense? Can you believe he said he's going to visit Iraq? What is he looking for in Iraq? No, that's how they behave. Please, I'm trying to arrange something. Is that okay? I'm talking about what God gives people is what wisdom. And when he wants to punish them, he takes wisdom away from them. So the people who vote at the end of the day, maybe they are Nigerians, they finally vote their brother into office, and he happens to be the goatiest of all three. So he starts, he gives $19 billion in contracts, you know, for power sector to all his useless friends, and that's the end. Your power will never work again. Turn around maintenance for refineries, he gives to his first son. And that boy says, my father gave me as a gift. Why should I do anything? And that's it. You start importing crude. Is not the cost just rained on the refinery or on the power sector? No. It's that people start making decisions that are wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? That's how the cost begins to come. I'm bringing out the point. When the blessing is about to come also, first there is a foundation of blessedness. And then God begins to teach wisdom that results in salvation. Do you get what I'm saying? First, there is what? A foundation of blessedness upon which you erect the pillars of success. So you have that foundation of blessedness, then God begins to show people what to do that brings forth salvation. That's what I'm saying. God begins to do what? Show people what to do that brings forth salvation. He doesn't just pour the salvation upon them. So that's why, before they get to the promised land, I'm back to what I was saying. He starts teaching them and choosing them. Like the story I told you about my wife, I said, the reason is because I said, this season, the way I see it, and not just I'm just as an example, is everybody. Even me as a preacher. There will be times we'll have challenges, because they let us see what you will do. Are you getting my point? He starts rearranging, teaching your boy, don't do it like this, do it like this. You say, well, don't do it like this. Through instructions and demonstration of how things work, you learn the next thing. One of the reasons why this is my alumni fellowship I'm going for in the next week, where I'm so excited about it, that because the first day is for ministers. And you see, there is a network I belong to. Serious people. Good people with solid foundation. And we need to teach each other these things. That, brethren, you might struggle in ministry today, but you have to decide whether you will continue to struggle forever by the kind of decisions you make today in the midst of struggles. Do you understand my point? That, you know, I've been warning you for 3 weeks now. Forget it works, it gets results. Forget it. Forget it. It works, it gets results doesn't mean nothing. What means anything is that there is an accuracy of doctrine. It's in line with the recorded word of God. And there is a Holy Spirit inside you that will tell you the kind of thing that is... You know, Olusemeka, you were here now, yesterday. My wife wanted to say, no, she has some things in stock, and a friend of mine called from Lagos. I said that, does she have this? And I said, yes, this particular... he said, please, tell her to keep it for me. I'm coming on Monday. We were sitting together when my phone rang. My wife said, I have a buyer, and the guy is giving me money. I'm looking at the money in front of me like this. He said, you know your friend now? He's not around yet. Maybe he will, explanation started. Maybe he will come now and say he doesn't want it. He said, look, I need my money. Look, there's money now. Now, the other guy has not paid money. Just said, tell him how to keep it for me. I'll be around on Monday. You were there, Elizabeth. You know? So when she said, I said, okay, no problem. Now, he will take another one. So she hung up the phone. I said, all right. Then, as I said, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. You know what is it? You can rationalize after doctrine. You know? As I was saying, I said, Olusemeka, this is not right. I picked the phone. I called her again. I said, baby, please, call my friend. Ask him whether you can sell it. He has to release you because I had told him and you had agreed that you're keeping for him. I said, ask him to release you from that pledge. Persuade him if you have to. Offer him a better price than another one. Do whatever you have to do, but he must say, all right. Otherwise, you have to wait till he comes on Monday and refuse to play ball before you are free. Ha! My wife said, yeah. And that's why, those are the duties I have. Like this, my husband complicates sales a lot. She picked the phone, called the guy. The guy said, don't try it. Don't try it. I like it. I want it. Hi! All right, gradually hung up the phone, told you that guy, I'm sorry I can't sell it to you. Then finally, the guy bought another one. my emphasis there is my spirit. As I was here, I was making myself supposed to be walking. I kept on, I harassed him so much for 5 minutes explaining the thing that, but it is right, it is not right. But I've learned that thing. You know, I know when my stomach is, you know, not settled. Doctrine, you know, facts, paper, you know what I mean? Letters appears and you can defend it, but my stomach said no, 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 no. And again, this is one of the ways I play the game. I put myself in the other person's shoes. If I were to travel somewhere believing something is being kept for me, maybe I saw another one I wanted to buy, and I remember that somebody is keeping one for me, and I didn't buy. And I got there. They said, well, they sold it. How will I feel? I said, no, it will be a bad thing. So I called my wife. I said, oh, girl, sorry. It's not right. Call him. The fact that you can see money is temptation. It's called temptation. It's called what?
Temptation.
It's called what? Temptation. You can see money is temptation. But let me add another thing to you. What if he comes and says, ah, now wow, I thought I would have money. I didn't have money again. You see, now I said it. No, no, no. What you did was right. That is a matter. If something else complicates it, it's different. What you did was what? Right. The fact that another issue came up and completed does not mean, because you see, when that was happening, you had enough information, that's what God does, to make the right decision. And you made the right decision. That's why people say, had I known, I said, you did not know.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Had I known, I said, but you did not know. The real regret is, and I knew, but. That's the real regret. I knew, but. Had I known is a different matter. Eve could have said, had I known, but Adam couldn't. He knew. The Bible said, the woman was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He knew. That was why God didn't forgive him like that. Or sent him out, sent him into judgment, punishment, all kinds of things. Because it was a deliberate choice. Now, let me not forget what I was trying to explain. What was I trying to explain? That I blessed you with a blessing. It will be more honored than Zilaibu. Who gives loans to people now? I'm adding new words to it. In hundreds of millions of naira. But right now, you are doing business in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Ah. But the decisions you are making now, do you follow? It's what God is using to decide whether I will really make you become more honored than Cecilia Ibro. You know, there's something, I read a few scriptures. Have you been blessed so far? All right, so that what I wanted to say, I've not gotten there, we'll probably leave that one till next week again. We're going to read from Jeremiah. In trying to review was what I got into this, all right? But let me just set something on that, then I read that one again, and I will get into it. What did I say? I said, God has thoughts about everything. God has ideas. Wisdom for salvation is that God begins to teach you what are the right things to do. All right? Listen to me, every child of God is blessed. You know what it means to be blessed? How easy it is to be blessed? Genuinely raise your hand and say, Jesus, be my Lord. Thank you for dying for me. If all you make are those two sentences, from the depth of your heart, you are blessed. Those two sentences have removed all the causes of harm and all the ones upon your village. You know, there are missionaries who have cost everybody in the village. You know that? I'm not joking. I'm not joking. They enter the town. They said, peace be upon these people. They killed them. And their peace not only left with them, it was buried. And God said, it will be more tolerable from Sodom and Gomorrah than this village, than this town. Since then, all they have produced are servants, hewers of woods, and fetchers of water. Any boy that wants to do well will die suddenly. That's all they have been producing. People don't understand. Nobody tells those stories. They won't remember that 100 years ago, some people entered and said, peace be upon this village, and they were killed. I'm telling you, is it from our area? We have never produced this. That's politics. Spiritual truth is that no matter how hard you try, it won't happen. Spiritual truth is that the day you finally get one, he will die before the day of swearing in. Listen, I know what I'm saying. You can cry all you want. You shed some precious missionary blood. Ha, yeah. God said, when I want to judge people, I let my servants go there, then you kill them. Ah, hey, good. All the sins that they were committed, from the killing of Abel to the shedding of the blood of Zacharias, who died between the porch and the altar, will bring it on this generation. How do we do that? We'll give them more prophets, let them kill some more. You are getting my point. But let me sit on my main message. Once a young woman comes from there and stops praying the prayer of the village, starts breaking the collar of the elders, listen to me. He starts pouring libation in that town. He puts forth his hand and says, Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on me. I believe in Jesus Christ. That statement has delivered him from that curse. Absolutely. Believe me, it has. It has. That is the gospel. That's why it's called the good news. That's why it's called what? The good news. There is no believer that's cursed. The problem believers have is that they are filled with influences from the East and they have become soothsayers like Philistines. That's all. There is no more problem with the believer than that. He fears what the people fear. He said, the Lord spoke to me with a mighty hand. He said, don't fear what these people fear. Are you getting my point? He said, there was, at the words Isaiah said, he said, neither fear ye their fears, that you fear the Lord alone. Do you get what I mean? When people start thinking, I know, that's okay, what I wanted to get into today, but I don't know why this development just came to my heart, and then, well, it's good, we have been blessed, amen? All right, so we'll just sit on that, maybe we'll get into that one again next time. The only problem believers have is when they start fearing what the people fear, when they start being filled with influences from the East, when they start having regards for what the people have regard for. Are you getting my point? That is when they open the door for the devil. That's when they open the door for Satan's. That's when the so-called little witches, they start jumping up and people start, you know, people go and play. All the witches are arrayed against me. You've heard me say it again and again. It's joblessness that makes you pray like that. It's a man, a woman that walks in iniquity that should remember such prayers. You're a sinner, you should pray it. When you go to your business, you label an imitation with the price of the original. He said, I didn't tell them it's original, but your price told them. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You know, you go and buy, you remember what I said? You go and buy a fake Calvin Klein suit. It's very nice looking, but the man doesn't know. You put the price of an original on it, you have deceived him. When you do such things, go home and pray against witches. The other day, my wife and I were making a joke like that. He said, if somebody were to pay me money like that, he said, if I won't collect them, my leg would shake. But we turned into a big joke. He said, well, next day you go back and say, Oga, that one you bought yesterday, somebody paid for it before. Sorry, take your money back. He said, Oga, say, I like it. He said, no, I'll find you another one. I said, just deliver yourself from that cause. Because if all you did was lie to him that somebody paid for another one, that one is small. Yeah, and maybe only demon of Qatar will pass through your face. But if you collect the complete money, you will just die. Real death. He has one tumor is growing in the center of your brain. He said, what happened? He said, it's fake. It's money. It's money. She had money that's not her own. Listen, those are the only things believers need to fear. Oh, that's all. That is all. That is all. Otherwise, there's nothing to fear. Nothing. Nothing. Spiritually, nothing. You have been thoroughly redeemed. Do you get my point? Yes, you have been thoroughly redeemed. It's very simple. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Jesus died for me. I was told. I believe it. Thank you very much in Jesus' name. That's it. You are free. One moment you are bound. Next moment you are free. But then, there's what is called wisdom for salvation. God starts teaching you all those things you used to know, how to unknow them. Do you get my point? The things you used to practice, how to stop practicing them. Because you grew up knowing how to do some things. God now says, no, that's not right. We can't do it like that. So the next generation of Nigerians, God will teach them how to do business without demanding kickback or kickfront. Do you understand my point? They will learn what they call, I saw that one long ago on TV, Small Business Today, that's the name of the program, what they call integrity marketing. One man started a marketing company, and the name of the company was Integrity Marketing. The idea is that we tell the client what he should know as a matter of truth concerning our products. And he became a successful businessman. There's no, you know all those one, you will tell one big story. That's how all America, half of Americans are in trouble now. They put some things in fine print so that the court cannot say, We didn't tell you. But you and I know that the guy wouldn't read it. He'll just ask you, he'll say, how much am I paying? You tell him. You know, there's one funny bank. I won't mention their name. They're opposite there. He said that their interest rate is 17% per annum. And he said that is lower than after all. GTB charges 19. What they don't tell you is that when GTB charges 19, it is 19. These guys, I calculated, it's actually 26 they charge. 2% maintenance fee per quarter. Put everything together, 26. It's judgment from God you are begging for. Our one is even easy. You know Americans? They will put it in small print. You will see. You need magnifying glass with your glasses to be able to read it. I was watching the other day. There's this group of lawyers who have risen up to go and defend people like that. And you know, there's a mood in every generation, you know. The judges will just be in the mood to be nullifying those contracts. Those banks are in trouble. Many of them are going to collapse because they sold to people with iniquity. You follow my point? So this man, what did he do? He started a company called Integrity Marketing. We will tell you the way it is. We will tell you exactly the way it is. That way we can only sell to you things that we know will really bless you. Now, these are the things that Christians must learn. I told you we are going to do what? Seeds. Spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies. It's called, in summary, what I'm doing is teaching the way of God, the light of the Lord when it comes to doing business and development. Initially, if you're using evil to make maybe 100%, double everything every 6 months, when I finish, your profit first drop to 25 from 100. And I'm not afraid to say it. It's a matter of fact. If you were doing evil before, it will come down. But, when judgment will come upon the people who are doing evil, do you follow my point? You will be spared. And that is the day you will now be established as one dwelling in the house of God that is exalted above all the mountains and above all the hills. Then people will say, we thought it was foolish, but it was very wise. I remember one man, somebody told me some time ago, that a man preached. His church was growing. He said one day he was praying and God told him that you are just going by yourself. You are not carrying your people along. What you are preaching, if you are there here on Monday last week, I explained what it means to be building up the body of Christ or destroying it. That has to do with doctrine, what you are teaching them. So essentially, he was no longer building up the body of Christ. That's what God was telling him. So the man changed his messages and began to preach. You know, you've heard me before say it. I'm always offended when I'm called a motivational speaker. I know sometimes my message on radio motivates people. But that's not the aim. That's not the aim. What I'm trying to say is that I don't like to say things that are sweet. I say things that are true. Do you follow what I mean? Yes. That's why I will shout against iniquity even on radio. The other day I said some people who are still, they are begging to be made examples. So if you are really motivated, then you are a good man. Do you understand my point? Or you are half deaf. You know what I mean? You close your ear. You know what they call itching ears. Once I start saying things that are touching you, you stop hearing it. This man, whatever it is, he stopped all the sweet message he was preaching. He began to preach truth. I heard this story because somebody was lamenting. Say, his church used to be big before, but they are not as big as they used to be. This was many years ago. I didn't have as much understanding as I have now. Me too, I wondered then that was he right what he did? But it was a man who I knew. He was the first person that taught me a message. I was in a seminar he preached. They called Year by Year. It was my first encounter with the teaching on purpose and the will of God. I've referred to him several times. You know? And I thought about that. This man, I'm sure he knew what he was doing. So I didn't say anything. You know, it's recent times I remembered him. I said, the man just delivered himself from judgment. You hear what I said? He delivered himself. The church reduced in number at that time. Don't worry, they will still grow. How many of you know David Wilkerson? That man that wrote those books, David Wilkerson. His church, they're in thousands. He's a fire and brimstone preacher. God is coming to get you if you don't repent. That's what he preaches. Yeah, there are thousands of people there. But such people usually have thousands of serious people. Thousands of what? Serious people, not jokers. Because let me warn you again, please. Something gets quick results. Be careful, though. Be very careful, though. Ken Hagin said it then in one of his books. You know, what I say to one, I say to all.
Do you get my point? And I explained something the other day about the ministry of the prophets, apostles and prophets, that why God allows the prophets to see things is because he doesn't have to show them to everybody. Once they are shown to the prophet, everybody believe the prophet. Believe this prophet, so shall you prosper. That's the way it is. He said that then God called him and said, the Lord was correcting him actually in a vision. He said he had ignored his prophetic ministry and had focused only on his teaching ministry. When in actual fact, he ignored his prophetic ministry, you understand? It was only teaching. In actual fact, God said, you're a prophet and a teacher. So prophet first and teacher second. What I want to bring out is what the Lord told him. So one day he was going, he fell and he broke his arm. All right? So he was in hospital. It was while he was recovering that he had a vision and the Lord appeared to him in the vision and he began to talk. He said, if I had not allowed you to break your hand, you were too busy, we would not have the chance to have this talk. Now you're getting my point. And if we had not had this talk, you would have continued what you were doing and you would have died at the age of 55. I mean, it makes the age, but it's something around that 50-something, between 55 and 59. I think it was 55, thereabout. So I told him simply, that's when you will have died. And everybody will say, oh, such a great teacher, he just died. I said, yes, but he had to die because he stopped prophesying and I called him to be a prophet. He was blessing you with teaching. I'm not saying he wasn't blessing you with teaching. But the real thing I placed upon him, and until I remove him, I can't remove that thing and put on somebody else. Now, this is, the spiritual things work is interesting. God will just be looking at it. Looking at his waste of anointing. He will come out to preach, the spirit of the prophet will come upon him. Suddenly he will start, sit down there, and God will, maybe somebody sitting somewhere there, suddenly he will have a vision about the person. God will show him all kinds of things, and he needs him to minister to the person, but he will say, they will say that, how did I know? I don't know job. Then he will continue preaching. The spirit will go down. Now, this interesting part, if God doesn't take it away from his head, nobody else will be able to use it. Spiritual things has measures. They have measures. So that measure upon him will be wasted. People will be denied their blessings and their breakthrough every day because one man is afraid to prophesy. So one day God will get tired. And he'll say, give it to me. And the only way Michael knows how to give it back is to cut the man's head open, put it on the inside. And that is it. The fellow is dead. So the Lord appeared to him and warned him. You don't want to die early, you better start doing what I say. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But if he had continued his own way, he would have been getting what appears like results. So that's why I say, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Anything you want to do in life, be careful. Am I doing it in accordance with God's order? Or I am doing it because this is what people like to hear, or this is what gets results? You know what I mean by results? If it's in keeping with God's order, do it. Do you follow my point? I've had many people tell me before, Pastor Mark, are you not going to start a church? I said, as things stand, I have no such idea. Why? I said, it will hinder the ministry that the Lord has given me. Now, I'm not saying it is wrong to start. One of my friends, one day, I said, oh boy, I have assessed you. I think you should be pastor of a church. I have not so assessed myself as at today. As at what? Today. People say, without being a pastor, nobody will give you respect. I can assure you of one thing. I have more respect in Enugu now than most pastors do. Yes, it's a matter of fact. I told you I went somewhere. A man said, when he heard me, he thought it was God in the likeness of flesh. He said, when he saw me, he said, so you're a real human being too. Yes, it's a matter of fact. He said, if you're not a pastor, nobody will give you respect. I said, I'm not begging anybody for respect. I'm just going to discharge my ministry. Shikena. So I say, you need the church, as a base. What they mean is as a money base. That's what they mean. I forget what that base. It's money base. So that on Sunday you can go. I say, praise God. There's a special breakthrough coming this morning. Deep your hands in your pocket. If I want to collect your money, I can do that too. I can't. You think I can? I can't. I just say all of you, as you are coming in here, the spirit told me that anybody with money in his pocket, above 55 naira, bring it out. And I'm sure most of you have more than 55 naira in your pocket. You're in trouble. Anyway, that's just a joke. So, no, really. So that's what I'm supposed to say. You need a church base. I said,
Don't worry. I'm standing very sure where I'm standing right now. I have no problem. I'm not saying church is wrong. Do you follow what I'm saying? Please be very careful. I'm not saying that. What I said is that why are you doing what you are doing? Are you getting me? And believe me, if it is finances for ministry, you know, my mind went into rest long ago. I'm believing God that any of you here will become so rich. You give me 1 billion naira. Don't break it into two. Gather it for 4 months. Chike, you here? Yes, Emeka? You know. Don't break it into two. One. Say, Pastor, this is a draft. It's 1 billion naira. There's another 150 million on top. That one's for you. This 1 billion is for preaching the gospel. Church or no church, we will get there. In Jesus' name, we'll get there.
Amen.
One day I'll just walk and say, just launch one satellite, cover the whole of Nigeria with the gospel. We will do it. I forget that. In a few years' time. I don't think it's evolved to 4 years from today.
Amen.
When every household in Nigeria will be able to tune to Pastor Banky every day of the week. I don't believe it's more than 4 years from today. I really don't think so. Why should it be more than 4 years? You are getting my point. I said, God has a thought about everything. It's only when you are located in the center of God's thoughts, God's ways, that authority is conferred upon you. Now, I have not said the thing I wanted to preach today, but I hope you have been blessed. If you have been blessed, therefore, let's just begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the power of your word.